This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
Welcome back to the Victory is Assured broadcast with Kurt Owen. For over 25 years, Kurt Owen has been helping people worldwide learn how to live victoriously by applying the promises in the Bible to their everyday life. Today, Kurt Owen is continuing his teaching on knowing and believing the love of God and how knowing and believing he loves you can cause you to win every time. Let's listen in.
Hello, I'm Kurt Owen, and welcome to Victory is Assured. I trust you had a great weekend. We've been talking about knowing and believing the love of God, and this is so important, and especially today at the end of this, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus, and this should show you a little bit about who Jesus is and what you can expect from him. Now, because we've covered so much and because I think it's so important, remember, we must, in order not to be religious, we've got to find our doctrine in Jesus. And sometimes some of you have said, well, are you saying that we shouldn't pay attention to Acts and the rest of the epistles? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that those epistles elaborate on the person that you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That none of that will be contradictory. And everything that they say and everything, you should be able to find it in his person. Because ultimately, they're speaking about him and the way he does things. Now, again, I want you to see here, and this is in Hebrews, and we're just going to start here in Hebrews 1, 3, talking about Jesus says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. See, that's who Jesus was. That's he was the express image of the Father. That's the reason that he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's the reason that he said, whatsoever you see, you know, I only do those things I see my Father do. I only say those things I hear my Father say. He was the express image of a person. And so, in other words, if you wanted to know how God is going to treat somebody, you can look at Jesus and that will tell you. Now, we started to get into this last week, which is here in John chapter 8, in verse 1. And this is about something that's happened in Jesus' ministry. He's gone into the temple to teach. He's a preacher, right? So he's gone into the temple to teach. And then it says in verse 2, 8-2. Now, let me, especially with some of this stuff, guys, I need you to go to the website or subscribe to the podcast on Google Play or the Apple Store. And you need to hear all of these in context because there's a lot I'm going to be missing. And there's sometimes people say, you know, well, yeah, but this. And it's like, yeah, but I actually covered that already. And so please go there. Not only that, at KurtOwen.com, KurtOwen.com, there's a lot of free materials there to be a blessing to you. So here in verse 2, it says, now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Okay, so again, let's kind of look at this. Jesus goes into the church. He's going to be doing some teaching. He sits down, and he's teaching some people, okay? And it says, then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, I don't know that we'll get to it today, but again, she's caught in the very act, right? This wasn't 10 years ago. This wasn't 10 hours ago. I'm not even sure this wasn't 10 minutes ago, right? And again, if she's caught in the very act, and since you do not have, you don't commit adultery with your clothes on, hopefully she grabbed a sheet, but now she's in church with a bunch of people looking at one preacher. She came with a bunch of preachers. They're talking to one preacher, and then on the other side of her is an entire congregation of people. This would have been a crazy church day, right? And, I mean, at least it would be for me. I don't know what things are like at your church, but we don't normally have this go on. And so he said, now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned. What do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. Okay, there's a couple things with this. They do not care about adultery, and they don't care about Moses. And because they're not doing this to stand up for the law, because they're just doing this so that they have something to accuse him of. Because if they actually cared about the law, and I know I said this last week, where are the other guy, right? Where's the other dude? She didn't commit adultery by herself. If you're really concerned about the law and keeping the law, if you're really concerned about Moses, honestly, this is one of the worst things about religion, is it's selectively applied. I mean, it's like, I'll judge you by your actions. I'll judge me by my good intentions. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I didn't mean that. Well, how do you know they didn't mean it? Well, because they wouldn't have done it if they didn't mean it. Well, what about you? Are you with me? So here's something else that's interesting. Religion doesn't actually care about people, because they love by concept and not by reality. And one of the things you'll see this here is he says, now Moses in the law command, again, they don't care about the law. If they'd have cared about the law, they'd have brought Moses, or they'd have brought the guy. And it says that such should be stoned. See, she's not even a person anymore. She's such. That such should be stoned. She's not even a person. They're not looking at her. She's just this thing that they can use to beat Jesus in the head with. This is just sad. And if you've ever felt this way about religion, about a church, and listen, there are no perfect churches. I guarantee you, you come to our churches in Florida, in Port St. Lucie or Clewiston, the truth of the matter is that eventually we're going to do something to hurt you. Not going to try to, not going to mean to, but it'll happen because we're not perfect, okay? But I'm talking about people ongoing that treat people like they're nothing but stuff. Such. That is not Jesus. This is not impersonal with Jesus. Jesus loves you personally. Jesus cares about you personally. You are not a means to an end. You are the end. He loves you. He values you. He wants you. You are not such to him. Okay? And now, okay, so he says this, what do you say? They said that they might have something to accuse him. Well, again, what this is about is that they're going to catch him in one of two ways. If he says, no, we're not stoning her, then they can say, see, he doesn't honor the law of Moses. He doesn't honor that. Or if he says, yep, pick up a rock, let's kill her, then they can say, see, he's just like everybody else. He's not everything you think he is. And so they think they've got him trapped in a catch-22, that he's trapped. Because remember, he's in church. So if he says, stoner, then all the people that are sitting there listening to him are going to say, see, he's just like everybody else. He doesn't care about people. All he cares about is his religion. Okay? All he cares about is the law. Okay? So that's kind of the trap they seem to be trying to lay for him. And it says, Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. They said, stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. Okay, so Jesus does not feel the need to respond to them and their demands. You know, sometimes religion tries to demand you give an answer today. And if you don't have one, remember Jesus right now, he's not omnipotent. He's not omniscient, okay? He doesn't know everything at this moment because he's emptied himself of his divine privileges. Evidently, he's seeking the Father for an answer because he's made a commitment. I'm not going to say anything that I don't hear my Father say. And so he stoops down on the ground and starts writing. Now, heard a lot of people talk about, well, he was writing down their names, the men, he was writing down their sins. Listen, if it had been important what he was writing down, it would have told us, okay? But he's just writing down until he has an answer. You know, he's not jumping on the bandwagon as an accuser. In fact, I want to talk to you today. If you have been in sin, and I'm talking about in the very act, 10 minutes, if right now, if wherever you're listening to this broadcast, you're leaving the house or leaving a place of committing sin, I want you to know that Jesus isn't done with you. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. I want you to notice that he is not, he's not really excited, because a lot of times people think that Jesus, if they'd have walked in and said, hey, she was caught in adultery in the very act, he would have been like, yes, awesome. I get to judge somebody today. I get to condemn somebody today. I get to send somebody to hell today. I get to tell them what a sinner they are and how unworthy they are. And notice he does not jump on that bandwagon. That's not him. And you might be driving off from your sin right now. And I want you to know that Jesus is not the author of your problem. Jesus is the author of the solution to your problem. That you don't need to run from Jesus. You need to run to Jesus. Because Jesus is not going to join with your accusers. Even if you're the accuser. I can't believe I've done this. I can't believe I've done this again. I can't believe this. That's not Jesus. Jesus is still saying to you, come to me. I will help you. Even when you're wrong, I love you. Even when you've made mistakes, you're never going to quit without my help. That's what Jesus is saying to you. I want you to listen to Michael right now, because he has something so important to tell you about how you can receive Jesus. Please listen to this and run from Jesus. Run to Jesus, not from. Let me be clear. Run to Jesus, not from him. You have nothing to fear from Jesus.
Kurt Owen wants you to know that God really loves you. He sent his son Jesus as a substitute for you. He took on your sins so you would not have to pay the penalty for sin. He also took on your sickness, disease, and injury so that you would not have to suffer from them. In order for you to receive the benefits of this redemptive power, you simply must accept Jesus as your Savior and make him your Lord. This is an easy and simple thing to do and will have wonderful eternal effects. All you need to do is believe that he is alive and that he loves you. If you want the power of the living God to change your life from the inside out, simply repeat this simple prayer. Jesus, please come into my heart. Please save me. I believe that you are alive and that you love me and that you gave your life for me. I believe that because I am asking, you are becoming alive in me right now. You are making me a new creation. I give you my old life while I accept your life. I also make you my Lord. I commit to do what you say with the understanding that you will never burden me with things that I cannot do, but rather you lovingly teach me step by step. Holy Spirit, please also come into my life and empower me with the very power of God, the way that Jesus said you would. Father, thank you for giving your son and making this provision for me so that now I can actually call you Father. If you have just prayed this prayer, we would like to put a couple of things in your hand so that you will get some help on the path of your new life. Simply email the words, I have been saved, to connect@kurtowen.com. Everybody in this ministry will continue to pray for you. We all love you, and we all want you to have a wonderful, wonderful life in God. Welcome to the family of God.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has equestrian and western wear